It is time for the Berkshire Edge On Air. It's time where we get together with Marcy and David and we take a look at some of the select stories they have selected to talk about that you'll find online, theberkshireedge.com. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you? How are you both?
Tired.
Okay. What, more opera?
No, just work.
Work, that's right. Oh.
This is a tough master we serve.
It certainly is.
talk to us in 3 years.
We appreciate it.
I know you do.
All right, well, let's get right to the top of your work list, and that is derelict properties. It's interesting that you have this story because Torrington has had, in Connecticut, has had a battle with that, and they've got laws on the books. Sharon, as a matter of fact, with some derelict properties, putting together a way to fix those things. That is a problem that all our towns, both large and small, face.
Well, it is. This is a long-standing problem, issue. Years ago, the schools in the three towns of the Berkshire Hills Regional School District, that's Stockbridge, West Stockbridge, and Great Barrington, decided to give up their village schools and consolidate the education of the kids onto one brand-new campus. And so there are these elementary schools that are standing largely unused in all three towns. In Stockbridge, at least, they converted them into the town offices. But in Great Barrington, there are two such schools. There's the Searle School, which used to be a middle school and a high school, and the Housatonic School, which is what the subject of our article was. The Housatonic School is a lovely little old elementary school that's right in the center of the village of Housatonic, which is like a hamlet in the town of Great Barrington. And it has a lawn and a park and a playground in front of it. And it's really the center, you might say, almost the village green. But what to do with the building itself has always been an issue ever since its use as a school was stopped. So now a new proposal has come forward to readapt that. I mean, this is the second time that I can remember in the last 8 years that someone has proposed to create a readaptive reuse of that building, and we'll see where it goes. The prior one was to convert the building into affordable housing through the Community Development Corporation of South Berkshire, and it didn't go anywhere because the people in Housatonic felt that affordable was a stigma, and they didn't want people who couldn't afford and needed help paying for their housing to be in the center of town. It was almost, they didn't realize that what affordable meant was, that teachers and firemen and police officers, those are the people that needed help.
People like them. Yeah, affordable housing.
They had a vision of some, housing project that... And that stigma is stuck with the word affordable. So we'll see if this time around it has a different fate.
Affordable housing is a total different than there's the two cuts. You have low income housing and you have affordable housing. They're
right.
two different things. And even the low income housing now, if you look in Salisbury and Sharon, which has affordable housing, some affordable housing, and low income housing, even the low income housing that has been put up in Sharon Ridge, and in Salisbury, are extremely, extremely nice. And
the federal guidelines for this. Affordable housing is if you have an income of $50,000 a year, you're eligible.
Yeah,
at least in Great Barrington, and so, a family of two or three, is eligible for if their combined income is $50,000, they are eligible for so-called affordable housing. So it's an interesting dilemma for the town, and the town really needs to have housing that is quote unquote affordable.
Yes, I mean, you know, we're suffering from the same thing that I'm sure, you know, your towns in Connecticut are suffering from, that housing prices have gone up. People come here, they want, you know, there's no one to do the work. I mean, you know, they want teachers, they want gardeners, they want, you know, all the professionals that support residential and especially second homeowners, and no one can live anywhere near near their town.
Look at fire services and ambulance services, which are
exactly.
mostly volunteer. If you have to pay if you would have to pay for those services, your tax base would become untenable.
That's right. And you can't. How can you have a volunteer fire department when nobody lives anywhere nearby?
Yeah, that's exactly.
Now, by the time they get here, the house will be burned down.
That's exactly right.
Well, you know, I understand that the volunteer fire department. Some of the members of the volunteer fire department in Lakeville, for instance, live in Torrington.
it's absolutely true. I mean, it used to be. It's a tough situation, and the answer is people have to just be more understanding and investigate a little bit more before they make decisions.
Yeah.
Bard College, I want to go on to the next story because I have done some interviews with these folks, and this is really a pretty interesting thing they're doing with their Daniel's Arts Party, which is basically a celebration of arts open to the public over a 3-week period.
Right.
Oh, yeah, that's what this is. It looks like it's a lot of fun, it looks like it's going to be.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
You know, we went, David and I went to a brunch on Sunday where the provost of Simon's Rock and some of the producers of this Daniel's Art Party were there. And, you know, they are very eager to integrate Simon's Rock more into the community. You know, Simon's Rock is what's called an early college. Students go there at age after sophomore or junior year of high school, and it's a 4-year college. It's associated with Bard. It's actually Bard College at Simon's Rock now. And they have not really been very much involved in the community. As somebody said on Sunday, this is a college town, but the town doesn't know it. And so they want the town to know that this is a college town because they have all kinds of activities at Simon's Rock that they would really like the town to participate in. So they're doing this very splashy Daniel's Art Party in their Daniel Performing Arts Center, and it's very interesting. I mean, we went to a little introduction. We were told about some of the events they're having, including a salsa party, two salsa parties, where they would like the Latino community to know that this is going on and come. So, anyway, David, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no. One of the performances that they have that goes on for a couple of weeks. You know, this is a community ongoing circus of events.
Right.
One of them is tales of firefighters, and so they've gotten local fire chief to come in and talk about adventures of firefighting. With his crew, so that ought to be really interesting too. I mean, they've engaged a wide range of community members and of stories of the local community, as well as performances of new art and new music. So it's going to be you can look at their schedule online on the Edge, and it's. It's going to be a lot of fun. And Simon's Rock is a beautiful, and that Daniel Art Center is really, it's a spectacular place.
It is, it is. It's got a wonderful little 350-seat auditorium, but besides that, because we toured it on Sunday, it's got all these wonderful art rooms, and you know, the kids have all the latest technology, including you know, printers that print enormous pieces of paper that look like fabric that they're using for wall coverings and floor coverings. So it's a tremendous local resource.
Yeah.
And so we wish them well, and we're very supportive of what they're doing.
All right, we will move on here to the 100th anniversary of the birth of Lenny Bernstein.
Yes, well, this is by, I think, in 6 weeks, people are going to be so sick of Leonard Bernstein.
No, come on, no, they won't.
Never.
Never, right.
But anyway, what were you going to say, David?
No. I mean, there's... The we have a little preview here of Roger Daltrey from The Who is going to be performing the rock opera Tommy at with the Boston Pops at Tanglewood on June 15th, and so it's this in Leonard Bernstein, but we have a little story of a preview of this performance. And apparently Leonard Bernstein, when he heard this rock opera, was enthralled with it, and which is, I hadn't realized that, but our writer, who's really good on this topic, writes a very interesting preview of this particular
Bernstein
performance.
Bernstein, actually, we have to... No, it is,
and this centennial summer, as they say, celebrating Lenny at Tanglewood. So it is going to be a lot of performers are going to be here in the Berkshires at Tanglewood, doing music and that Leonard Bernstein, you know, celebrated himself. He was a composer, and you know, he is a graduate of the Tanglewood Music Center.
Bernstein.
So,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So, well, like this kicks it off, you might say.
One could never get too much of Leonard Bernstein.
No, I think that's right.
Yeah.
You know, we've mentioned this group, Close Encounters with Music, which I chair. We had our final concert of the season last Saturday night, and we did, of course, Bernstein. And Bernstein and his contemporaries and his friends. And, you know, that music is so fresh. It's like it were being written today. It's really wonderful.
I was lucky enough to be at the age I am, but I was young. I used to watch his kids' show on TV, on CBS.
It would be great to see those now.
I mean, my parents had me watch those shows.
We were supposed, you know, that was all part of, that was all considered part of an education.
Huh. Yes, it was.
And
right,
I
could just remember him with his white jacket
and his hair, this wild man
look, which
resonated
for a kid, resonated for me as a kid, and then you'd listen to the music.
Right. Well,
now
and,
listen, you know, you may have remembered he used to do the Young People's Guide to the Orchestra.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And one of the Berkshire residents, Paul Green, was that young clarinetist in one of his shows, and he's still playing. He plays klezmer music and is a really good clarinetist. And he's lives here in the Berkshires. So,
David, your son is a cellist, right?
Yes, and a pianist.
Okay,
and a composer too. He composed. He's composed a string quartet and a piano trio so far.
Just be glad he didn't want to become a drummer.
Yeah. Well,
that's his brother.
Oh my God, a drummer!
Yeah,
and
right.
No wonder.
Well, the brother, it's either drums or trumpet. So
yep.
There are no quiet instruments.
No, that's right. The attic is quite loud.
Soundproofing.
Yeah.
All right. Well, seeing as we're talking about artist creativity, we might as well go on to the next story.
Well, despite what you, despite the tenor of the Trump administration, nevertheless, the National Endowment for the Arts has awarded quite a lot of money to performing arts institutions in the Berkshires. And Congressman Richie Neal announced this past week that $328,000 for various projects and schools and institutions in the Berkshires. So it was really a relief to see that at least the NEA is operating responsibly. So that was a bit of good news.
In fact, the budget for the NEA went up a little bit this year,
yeah,
despite the talk in Washington about getting rid of the arts.
Yep.
So that is some sign of hope. small as it is.
It's a sign.
It's a sign, whatever, right? And not everybody has rolled over and playing dead.
All right.
Okay.
So the next story we want to head on
to. Yeah,
we're
having an education issue here, aren't we? I mean, a lot of education stories. And the next one is, once again, the school committee, the Berkshire Hills Regional School Committee, is looking at a plan to renovate the 50-year-old Monument Mountain Regional High School, and it was a couple of years ago they had a proposal to renovate the high school, which went down to defeat. It was approved in two of the three towns, but Great Barrington voted it down. So the school committee hasn't given up on this idea and is now coming back with a proposal either to renovate the high school or to build a completely new one. Some people believe that building a new building is actually cheaper than trying to renovate the old school, because when you're renovating a school, it's still in operation, so it's quite difficult to do both at the same time. So conduct school and rebuild it. So,
but this is an ongoing saga. The town of Great Barrington voted down 21 million dollars in state funding about 3 or 4 years ago, and because there were a lot of false rumors that even if we voted it down, we would get it. I don't know what that is all about, but we didn't get it, obviously, and the building still needs to be renovated.
Well, the issue is too that there's in the wake of that defeat, there's been a lot of examination of how to, and in the wake of the fact that the school age population is declining in the Berkshires. At least for the moment, the question was whether school districts in this sprawling rural county in western Massachusetts should consolidate some of its school districts, and rather than have separate schools, have larger, more consolidated school campuses. So that's there's been some talk that the town of Lee and Great Barrington would combine their school, at least their high school, maintaining their elementary and middle schools, but combining their high school. And we'll see where that has just been an idea that's been examined. We'll see where that goes.
Yeah, and there is a sort of a Berkshire County school planning, self-appointed school planning group. And we've talked about this.
Well, it's a Berkshire Educational Task Force.
Yes, yes, right. But and self-appointed. It's not an official task force, right? It's made up of, knowledgeable people who are concerned about the future level of education, quality of education. And their recommendation in the spring, or I guess last summer, was to turn Berkshire County into one school district. It hasn't met with a great deal of enthusiasm.
Separate campuses, separate school campuses.
Yeah, but one school district. Yeah. And so that's something else that simultaneously is making its rounds of you know, town meetings and smaller discussion groups. So it's very much in flux, which, you know, which is kind of paralyzing for people who need to make plans, because they I'm sympathetic that it's very hard to make a plan when there's so many different ideas floating around and nobody, and there's no consensus on the right route.
All right, absolutely. And but now Monument Mountain Regional High School has a new principal, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's true. You know, as I say, this is the education issue today. but yes, the high school, the one that we were just talking about being renovated, has a new principal, Douglas Wine, and he's from Texas. Surprise, surprise. So that's he's an interesting candidate that the school committee has now hired to replace. Well, a woman who was here only for 1 year, replaced a principal, Marianne Young, who was here for a number of years and was very popular. But she retired, and they've had a little bit of a stumble here to try to replace her. And now, hopefully, they've gotten a candidate who will fit the bill and stay for a while.
All right. In the last 2 minutes, let's talk about the scholarship story that you're following up.
This is really a lovely story.
Yeah, go ahead, Marcy.
I mean, you probably know the details better than I do, but there is a couple named Arnie Chavkin and Laura Chang of New Marlboro. They're second homeowners, so anybody who complains that second homeowners don't do anything for the community should take a look at this. They have set up a very generous scholarship fund to benefit first-generation Berkshire College goers. So people whose family never went to college and they are going to college, and they have to be going to four-year colleges, no community colleges, two-year colleges. And so they gave the first grant out this year, the award is $60,000. So it's like $15,000 a year for all 4 years.
Yep.
And, of course, it went to a woman whose family has never gone to college before. What they are doing is not only are they giving out awards to graduating seniors, but they are selecting people at lower grades who are juniors and sophomores. And part of the program is to provide advice and counsel on where to apply and how to prepare yourself for college.
And a real incentive to continue, to continue on to higher education.
Right. So they're not only sort of, you know, picking out one person to award at the end of his or her high school career, but they are cultivating and bringing along a pipeline of young people who have no idea how to apply to college or have inadequate guidance.
Or think they might not be, you know, candidates for college, you know?
They may not have been because they don't know.
Yeah.
Right. So this is really, I mean, this is a, and these people also have a house, I think, in Telluride, Colorado, and they're doing the same thing in Telluride. So, you know, it is really a very, very generous gift to be giving $60,000 per student. And I don't know, how many are they planning to give a year, David? Only one? Or
yeah.
Yeah. But one big grant, but a lot of support to students, you know, coming up.
Absolutely. Yep. All right. Well, we are out of time already.
All right. So just want to remind your listeners to look for copies of the Berkshirescalendar.com, our new magazine, which is available for free at high traffic places. Both in the Berkshires and in the northwest corner of Connecticut, and it's a wonderful companion to our online calendar.
All right.
And gorgeous, a gorgeous magazine that stands on its own.
All right. We will speak to you both next week.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Yes, well, have a good week, you guys.
All right, take care.
Bye.
You bet.
Bye.
That is the Berkshire Edge on air. And, of course, you can find the Berkshire Edge online, theberkshireedge.com, theberkshireedge.com.